Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for approval of the minutes of the June 25th Finance Committee. Mr. Huber and Mr. Fay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now we have a presentation on workers' compensation. Mr. Button.
Thank you. I'll try to speak loud enough for the crowd. I'm not going to try to belabor an issue that I know this board is fairly familiar with, but I did provide a handout that everybody should have included in their agenda. It provides a little bit of the detail associated with the history of the plan. Major points that I think I'll touch upon, though, are that this plan has been around since 1954. Major milestones for us, at least that are relevant to this board and this board's operation, occurred in 2001 when the board first started to look at developing an amalgam, a hybrid of the inclusion on the formula of both real property assessed values as well as the values associated with your payroll, your risk, and experience. For years, the formula was calculated solely utilizing the assessed values of lands within the specific jurisdictions. But as you can imagine, villages are small, towns are just slightly larger, and county governments form all of the below. So naturally, the county government would have been hit significantly harder than the towns or the villages would have been under an assessed value of property formula. In 2001, as I indicated, that board decided that they would move to a 90-10 formula to start to phase in payroll, risk, and experience. And the next major jump occurred in 2014. In 2014, the board at that time decided that the formula would have a new sort of merging trend to expand the payroll, risk, and experience component, but not make that final step to be solely based on payroll, risk, and experience. In fact, in 2014, the decision emerged to go from 70-30 to 2015, which would be a 60-40 model, to 2017's model, which was a 50-50 model. 50% of the value of the apportionment apportioned to each of the plan participants was based on the assessed value of the land. 50% was based on that formula that included the payroll, the risk classification of the titles of each of the individual employees in each jurisdiction, and then the actual experience of the claims that the individual plan participants had during a three-year period. Obviously, this board is very familiar with the fact that last year it reviewed that plan, it reviewed that formula, as is required under the local law that established this, set up in 1954, and decided to go that last step and move to a straight 100% payroll risk experience model. And it has had a very significant impact overall on the apportionment of the overall plan. The county remains still the largest contributor, and it should, obviously, because of payroll risk and experience takes into consideration the number of employees and the risks associated with those employees. We have more employees than any other employer within the plan, so just by mere default, the county will pay a larger share. But it should never have been paying the share that it was. Last year, as a result of the change of the formula, there was a decrease in the amount of the county share on the apportionment by $700,000. Under this year, the formula changes to $800,000 less than what it would have paid in 16 under the 50-50 model. That is a significant amount of savings in a 24-month period for the county. Roughly $1.5 million that the county otherwise would have contributed. Now, where would that money have gone? That money really would have gone to subsidize those higher use participants within the plan. Now, based on the payroll risk experience model, those participants must carry their own weight. Tonight, you'll have a resolution that will come before you that will set this year's apportionment rate for each of the plan participants. And they more closely mirror the actual usage and risk associated with each of those plan participants. Now, in your handout, you'll see some interesting information in addition to the formula modification that's occurred. We have had some significant discussions regarding targeted settlements in order to drive down the cost of our high indemnity claim. Now, let me explain that a little bit. When an individual gets injured associated with a workers' comp claim, their average weekly wage is calculated out. And based on the time in which they're out, we have to pay weekly for that loss of income to the employee. That is known as the indemnity check. We also have to pay the medical portion. The medical portion represents those doctor treatments, those ongoing or recurring costs associated with the treatment to bring the employee back to maximum medical improvement and return them to work potentially. In 2016, this number, which is represented by a weekly number, we were paying out approximately $120,000 to $152,000 per week on that number. I am proud to say that as a result of the targeted settlements that we implemented in 16 and carried over into 17, that number is drastically decreased. If you'll take a look in the piece of information of the handout that was included with the agenda, you'll see in 2016, by the end of the first half, we had spent $2,261,384 on indemnity, medical, and expenses. As a result of the targeted settlements in 2018, at the same time, we had spent $1,218,005. This is a massive decrease over the course of 24 months. And that is as a result of the targeted settlements that were employed in the 16 and 17 period. This will inure to the benefit of our plan participants. This will also enable us to target, as we move forward, those continuing high indemnity cost cases, low medical spend cases. Now, we've also, over the course of the past couple of years, implemented a new plan that had been discussed under the prior board but had not been implemented at that time, and that was the development of risk management. Risk management, as a very wise person once said to me, is not really a cost. It is cost avoidance. It is designed to avoid potential harms associated with the employees at a later date, identify recurring traumas, and seek to limit their impact so that we can reduce the number of incidents of claims within the workplace. Over the course of the past year, our new risk manager, Paul Baxter, who is present this evening, has managed to make his way into all but one of our plan participants and craft a plan associated with what he saw as those items that may actually not be working or may be producing repetitive traumas or injuries. This has been a significant benefit that we are able to provide to our plan participants. It has also been great in gathering the data that we have needed to see where these recurring traumas are occurring. Paul has been instrumental in developing that plan and moving it forward. This year, he hopes to start working through our fire department so that he can try to assist them, especially with the implementation of the new cancer presumption bill that has been signed into law. I know this board has been made more than abundantly aware as to the potential costs associated with the cancer presumption bill and volunteer fire departments. So it is incumbent upon Paul, and hopefully with the help of one of the legislators who's been instrumental in the plan, Larry Demetia, to try to get into the volunteer fire departments and check for the annual screenings, check the equipment, and try to move us forward there. Hopefully after that he'll have an opportunity to follow up with the prior plan participant inventories and determine whether or not those modifications or changes have been implemented as suggested. But it's been a busy couple of years with the self-insurance plan. We've seen some great financial strides. We've seen some great strategic changes internally. As this board knows, this past year we also dedicated certain funds towards investigations. Those investigations are ongoing, but they are proving to be fruitful. I can answer questions privately regarding those investigations should the board be interested, but I can tell you they are proving definitely fruitful at this time.
Thanks. Before we get started, I neglected to mention that Joel LaPierre is excused for tonight. All right, I would ask for a motion on a resolution for workers' compensation self-insurance apportionment for the year 2019. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Perkins, any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Get the two is a no. Two no's. Would ask for a motion for a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for the County Attorney's Office for increased costs associated with retention of outside legal counsel. Mr. Hooper, Mr. Perkins, any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign an agreement between Jacqueline Wilmert and Kevin Wilmert of County of St. Lawrence, New York, regarding tax delinquent property. Mr. Lightfoot, second. Mr. Hooper.
I'm not going to go into great detail regarding this resolution. I believe the board has been more than adequately apprised as to the circumstances regarding it, but this resolution will authorize the chair to sign any agreement necessary in order to convey this specific property that has been obtained by the county through tax foreclosure to the Wilmarts, and they will assume the liability associated with such.
Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Steve.
Abstain.
I would ask for a motion for resolution for authorization to fill assigned maintenance worker in the Department of Highways. Mr. Denisha, second. Mr. Hooper.
Within the Department of Highways, we have two positions in the budget. One is vacant. The sign maintenance worker works with the sign crew and also the road striping operations. The sign crew deals with all the county highway signs and makes the majority of signs for the sub-municipalities within the county, so the position is needed. In the wintertime, this position also mans a snow park.
Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution to fill, for authorization to fill a bridge construction mechanic position in the Department of Highways. Mr. Hooper, second. Sorry, Mr. Burke.
Thank you. In the department budget, we have five positions that are bridge construction mechanics. The title, they're not mechanics, they are individuals that repair and build bridges for the county. So it's just a terminology thing they basically do carpentry work, welding, concrete work, whatever detail is needed on bridge, put up rail. The individual would also man the snowplow in the wintertime as well. As you know, we do have a lot of bridges and large culverts that need repair, and they're very big.
Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution for authorization to fill a laborer position in the Department of Highways. Mr. Arquette and Mr. Backlund.
Within the department budget, we have 12 labor positions that are full-time and 7 temporary, with this position being vacant. The origin of this position started out with a heavy equipment operator, which vacated the position in February of this year, and moving through our process and promoting people within the department as required by our union contract. It takes a while to work through the system, so to speak. So at this point, really it's been a person down since the end of February.
Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And I believe you have an update for us on how.
Yes. As far as our, we have two federal aid projects that are going on right now in the construction phase. One being in Russell. Everything is still on schedule with that structure. The piles are in, concrete, different concrete pours are in the various development stages right now. So that's all moving along as scheduled. So that should be a late fall opening. The structure on Franklin Road and Waddington had a little difficulty with steel and needed some corrective actions at the plant. That has been taken care of, but has not impacted schedule. The structure is still on schedule for, fall opening. So those are the federal aid projects. In-house, County Road 47, Town of Stockholm, bridge beams will be installed as if everything goes as planned on the 14th of August. So a major milestone there. The piles are in. And the abutments are being constructed in-house right now at this point. Another structure that's underway is Gleason Road. That project, the abutments are nearly complete and should be setting steel with the same cranes as we leave County Road 47. The crane should be going to Gleason and setting the structure there. So that's moving forward well. Large culvert, then that crew will be moving to a large culvert on County Road 36 for replacement.
Thank you, Mr. Eggers.
What's the expected completion date for the Franklin Bridge?
I believe that was looking at somewhere, I believe around early October, I think was time frame on that. And the recycling process with the road started today.
Completion on the county website?
We should be about 8-9 weeks out, yeah.
Any other questions? All right, thank you, Don.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I would ask for a motion for resolution authorizing the treasurer to modify the fiscal year 17 REOA budget to restore funding for the employment and training program. Ms. Perkins, Mr. Hooper.
I won't say anything more than they took some money away and they gave it back to the federal level. All of $800 and some. It was better than nothing.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I would ask for a motion for a resolution modifying the fiscal year 15 Workforce Investment Act budget to restore funding for the Dislocated Worker Program for the Enhanced Career Services. Mr. Perkins, second. Mr. Arquette.
This is a little more worthwhile than the other one. Put it real short, the state has an allocation about 3 or 4 years ago of dislocated worker money. They had tried to spend it at the state level. They couldn't spend it all, so they turned to the local areas like St. Lawrence County and opened it up and said, make us a proposal. Our proposal, based on the ground rules which the State Department of Labor gave us, was that we could apply for about $36,500 and retroactively apply it to some expenses in this past year's 2017 budget. What this means is that we will be able to carry forward that amount in 2018 and have more to spend on both dislocated worker and adult programs this year. And I want to stress how important that is, that we have 100% transferability between adult and dislocated worker. Thank heaven there's not that many dislocated workers right now, but there's a lot of demand in adult, and we're going to need it. So this 36.5 comes at a very appropriate time.
Any questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Tom. We ask for a motion for resolution modifying the 2018 budget for forestry for a decrease of funds awarded to the snowmobile trail grant. Mr. Arquette, Mr. Colbert, Mr. Akers.
So this is just the grant that closed in April of this year, March of this year. They had earned additional funds that weren't budgeted, so it's pass-through, just increasing the budget to allow that money to come in and go back out to the snowmobile association.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign the 2018-2019 local sponsor signature form as part of the grant application to the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. Mr. Perkins, Mr. Colbert, Mr. Arquette.
This is our annual resolution. The county acts as a local sponsor as required by the grant and aid program that the state offers for the Snowmobile Association.
Any questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Under County Administrator's report, we have a resolution, so I would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign an intermunicipal agreement with New York counties to establish the Municipal Healthcare Financing Collective to access stop-loss insurance quotes for healthcare. Mr. Perkins, second. Mr. Backlund.
This resolution comes forward as we continue to look at our options for acquiring stop-loss. We spend quite a bit of time around budget, but certainly throughout the year, in reviewing options for how and when we might acquire stop loss. Each time we have an assessment done, a review of pick your number of years, costs associated with what the quote would be, we have yet to find a time where it made more sense to purchase the stop loss and to continue the path we've been on. I'm going to have Dylan speak to this new arrangement that we're looking at your authorization for.
So I've been working with going to meetings in NYSAC and surrounding counties to work on the intermunicipal agreement, basically allowing us to pool together our covered lives and as a kind of risk mitigation, being that when all of our lives are together, there's the line for a loss will be flat. The initial quote that we receive, I don't really expect to be much different than the other quotes we've received in the past. The real benefit comes at the end of the year when we have a group captive, which each county paid money into. The expenses for our claims come out of that group captive. If we have money left over in that pool, then each county that's in the captive receives a refund of the money back on a pro rata basis. That is where we would potentially see our real savings, and in a similar group of private colleges where this has been employed, they have received a 35% share back average for the past about 7 years. We are scheduled to receive a quote from Wealth Benefits that works with Berkeley Health on the information that we sent in for the past year. It's not going to be good for 2019, but at least give us an idea of where we are at our starting point going into budget.
One of the benefits in talking with NYSAC, engaging in the intermunicipal agreement at this time will allow us to both be a part of the bylaw creation and the terms with which organizations, three of which right now are counties, one is where Tompkins County is involved in a consortium. This would allow us and any other counties who may choose in the future to become part of the consortium or the collective to acquire that stop loss if and when it becomes an option for the board. This would also require an additional approval for purchase of that policy. So by signing the intermunicipal agreement, it does not commit the county to the policy. There would be a separate approval where that would take place. Questions?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
The next item that's included in your agenda and one of our last for the evening is the second quarter budget report for you. I would note that 15 of your departments came in under 50%. Out of those, 10 within 5%. I think that is great demonstration of the commitment that your department has had to managing their budgets. I think that when we have conversations about relativity throughout the year, you're becoming more and more aware of how the budgets run, and when spending happens in certain departments, it ranges from later in the year for some departments to big spend in the first quarter. So I think these reports are valuable in that way. I'll remind you that we made a change in the last quarter's report, the first quarter for 2018. Formerly, we compared first quarter of year prior to current year. What we've changed this last quarter, so this is the second time that you're seeing it, is the adopted county cost. You're very mindful of the adopted county cost and how departments are managing that. What we'd like to bring you additional information about in the future is how many amendments we're having to make to those. I think that's important information. But also in this summary page, you're seeing how much of that adopted budget is remaining. Now, the question of the modifications during the year can be answered in the subsequent pages, broken down by department, by category. So in those personnel costs, or in the revenue, or in the fringe benefit areas, those are the areas where you can zero in on what those actually look like compared to that modified budget. So any resolutions you've considered this year and made adjustments to are reported there. We continue to find ways to better inform you on what the numbers look like. But I think from this report, both the summary and at the department level, the departments are doing an outstanding job. I think that there are five departments that I would draw your attention to where revenue, when you look at those, revenue is lagging, whether it's behind the quarter of its time of submission or through some grant reimbursement that we're working on. Those are the two general areas of concern that I see. Otherwise, I think certainly open to questions if you have them, but otherwise certainly a benefit to have the quarterly report.
Any questions? Mr. Hooper.
There's a couple of, I'll call them funky numbers on here. Board of Elections and the Treasurer's Office. Is that a timing thing, or what else is going on?
Board of Elections receives all of their revenue in the beginning of the year. Are you speaking to the great revenue, no cost to the county, look on the summary report? That's correct. But when you look at the department page, you can identify the areas where they actually have come in just under $300,000 as far as their expenses for the year. They just received their charge back at the beginning of the year.
Any other questions? Anything else for the county administrator's report?
Yes, a couple of updates for you briefly. Before we consider the other resolution or old new business, which I'll speak to, wanted to give you an update. The day after our last committee meeting, Chairman Akers, Vice Chairman Lightfoot, County Attorney Button, and I traveled to Albany to meet with the governor's staff. We were able to meet with Rob Williams to have a discussion, which we'll provide you with an update too after the board meeting when we do hold another executive session. But we also were able to talk about tourism involving specifically Bassmasters, and a press release today provided that $50,000 will be coming from the governor's office for Bassmasters for this year. So that was extraordinary news that we heard might be happening, but we hadn't attached dollars to that yet. So that was pleasant news for us to hear. We were able to speak to a specialist on shared services, as well as discuss Raise the Age and the opportunities in the coming year and the priorities of the board. So I think it was a great trip. We were able to understand a little bit better what's happening, and we'll advise the board certainly what our recommendations are. On the 18th, we hosted the new director of the Fort Drum Regional Liaison Organization, Fritz Keel. He met with Veteran Services Director Mike Beaupre, Board Representative Joe Lightfoot, to explain some of the areas that he believes need attention as a part of the organization and their involvement with Fort Drum, as well as listen to our interest in improving job opportunities as it relates to Fort Drum and in this area specific to Governor and South. We made another nutrition site visit. This time Dylan accompanied me to Morristown. Joe Lightfoot joined us. This almost completes my visit to each of the nutrition sites around the county, making Brazier next. The DEC event that was held, many of you attended, Chair Akers and Legislator Denisha spoke to this event. A comprehensive presentation was provided on the history of the cleanup. Certainly a valuable discussion was held, as well as where they're moving in the future. On the 24th, there was a ribbon cutting in Governor for the third window. We were hosted by the town of Governor, and the work that they've done didn't cost the county a penny, as well as a nice surprise for County Clerk Rupp being recognized for her service and dedication to the county. Always a good example, working with the town of Governor in the existing shared services between municipalities. We did hold the labor management meeting we had discussed to talk about the recent Janus decision and its impact. Six out of our seven unions were represented, and the determinations were made about how employees will be noticed, how the forms will be updated, and our deadline to make sure that we have things on file that the county requires. That was a beneficial meeting, as well as our opportunity to talk about some policy issues we'll be facing over the next year. Efforts were made on two areas of plan creation, both of which you've heard reports on recently. One is the Raise the Age comprehensive plan. It's still ongoing with the collection of data. Submission will be finalized, and then we'll call that group that considered the detention center back together to review that before it's submitted. The Indigent Legal Services plan, the Hurl-Herring implementation for services, the finalizing the plan to submit for preliminary approval. You'll see it operations in August. An opportunity to consider the contract, which we're looking for a five-year contract with the state to implement the services that come along with that. This Wednesday and Thursday, a group of five county representatives will be traveling to Lake Placid to attend results-based accountability, and this is associated with Raise the Age efforts that are coming quickly on October 1st. And finally, as Kelly noted in an email to all of you today, there's been an invitation to attend a briefing for New York counties at the White House, as well as have a tour. So if any of you are interested in that, please let Kelly know, and we will make arrangements. Any questions?
On that Bassmasters, is that $50,000, is that a multi-year commitment, or is that just this year? Or
I can find out.
Any other questions? Any old business? Under new business, I would ask for a motion for a resolution establishing a standard work day for New York State Retirement System reporting purposes. Mr. Perkins, second. Mr. Hooper.
This resolution is one that you're familiar with generally around the beginning of each term. We needed to make an adjustment to one of our coroners and provide the service time prior to 2015. So as you know, you're allowed to utilize the same time reporting for two terms, as long as you recertify. So this resolution will allow us to go back and capture from 2011.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any other new business? Seeing none, we are adjourned.
Bruce, you mentioned you were having good luck working with the town of Governor. Were any luck with the village of Governor at all?
Turn off the microphone, I'll tell you.